from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. The COVID virus is presenting challenges all over the world, all over our country, all over the state, and even all over our county. Nobody understands this better than Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Right off the Mountain Parkway.
Sorry about that. And again, thanks to our sponsors. We'd like to thank them. This is Dave along with Ken Simon. And glad to have you with us tonight. We will have our guest tonight will be Frank Spencer. He's the head baseball coach at Powell County High School. Before we get Frank on here, though, we would, you know, again, kind of give you a couple updates of where we are as of right now, as far as we know. I still think we're at the May 1st or April 30th deadline here in Kentucky, as far as we know from here, as far as the closures go. So that means I do think it will be extended. We shall see. And if it has been extended, somebody let me know that I'm mistaken on that. But I think as of right now, I've not heard any extensions past the April 30th.
May 1st. Yeah, which is that Friday.
Correct. So I guess things technically could start back right after that. I don't think that's going to happen, or at least not a full-fledged open up of the economy as they're talking about out there. So for all those out there that are in need or whatever your situation, we do have sympathy for you, and we do understand where you're coming from. But hopefully you can follow these stay-at-home directions as much as you can. But I do think we're making a difference as far as the number of cases we're seeing. So I think the state mandate on that is following the federal state option is what they're, calling it. The federal government has said, okay, states do what you choose to do. And Kentucky is one of those that has chosen to close their non-essential workforce, and again, I think it has made a difference here in Kentucky. Only time will tell whether how we come out of this and what is used to come out of this COVID-19 crisis that we are in here in the country and around the world. Some countries are coming out, some countries are trying to get back to work, and then we're seeing upticks back in the COVID-19. So I do think if we get back, we need to make sure that we're not on one of those upticks and right back where we are now.
Yeah, and I think under the circumstance, I think most people are pleased with the way Governor Beshear is actually handling this. At least he kind of nipped this in the bud early, in a sense, put us ahead of that curve, in a sense, when you look at Ohio, when you look at Indiana, and even Tennessee, for that matter. West Virginia was kind of late, in a sense, but yet with what Governor Beshear did within his administration to kind of curtail things, in a sense, I think he's done a nice job. I think most people tune in regularly to his daily broadcast at 5 o'clock. I think calm, in a sense. You know, he's very calm going through the process, in a sense. I think under those circumstances, it's been nice going. You know, as far as the school system is concerned, May 1st so far, we would, here in Powell County anyway, May the 14th would be our last day anyway. I can't imagine us coming back for a week or two, you know, in order to kind of close things out at this point. So I would expect next week, to be honest with you, the governor would probably have another announcement, at least to get through the closing of this particular school year. I'm not so sure even anything would be lifted going into, you know, May and or even June at this point. Hopefully by the time July rolls around, maybe things kind of start to change just a little bit. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, some that have actually gotten back into you know, the opening of the economy, in a sense, you know, now you kind of see an uptick. Again, there's no telling how many people are asymptomatic,
right,
under those circumstances. So therefore, you try and curtail it, try and ride this out, you know, a little bit longer, in a sense. And hopefully, cross our fingers, you know, come August, we're back on schedule, we're back in the swing of things. But then, of course, now there's the concern, if you will, going into next fall, next winter, when the temperature drops, just like with the regular flu, but obviously with this potentially kind of making its way back around again. So, you know, by no means are we out of this, but obviously things have definitely improved to some extent as far as the number of cases kind of being steady, in a sense.
Yeah, if you look at the mandates they're asking us to do, it's not hard. It's You know, stay a safe distance away from people. If you go out in public and you know you're going to be around people, wear a face mask of some kind to cover your nose and mouth. And that's not to prevent you from getting anything. It's to prevent others maybe from getting something from you if you are asymptomatic. Also, wash your hands and the 20-second rule. Make sure you wash them well. And obviously, if you can have hand sanitizer around, it's great to do that as well. Also, I know in New York, they're talking about a lot of cases get transmitted by your footwear. So they're tracking it in places and out of places on their feet and their shoes. So make sure you clean your shoes regularly, if you will, because where you're walking also is a contact point of someone else, and you can track it on your feet as well. So just to kind of know, if you kind of you want to stay in the know of this thing as much as you can know, because there is still a lot unknown out there that we need to get through before we get anything else started. We listened to Governor Cuomo in New York. Today had 752 more deaths, and they're on a downward trend. The death rate is not on a downward trend, however, but the number of new cases is down, yet they had over 2,000 new cases, and we're saying that's a down number for New York. He also mentioned today they've tested 500,000 individuals in the state of New York, population of 19 million, and they've been kind of devastated by this thing, but you know, they're kind of on the downward tick, hopefully, and I don't think they're going to open up here anytime in the near, maybe in the next couple of weeks. They may try some other non-essential places be opened, small business in small steps, but there's certain protocol they have to go through.
And I think under the circumstances as well, obviously, whether it's the CDC, the World Health Organization, you know, more information, is they're still trying to figure this thing out, obviously. How it's transmitted, as you mentioned, the you know, your shoes, etc. I read a report earlier, I believe it was in Taiwan, that a forensic pathologist ended up potentially getting the coronavirus from a deceased person. So therefore, again, potentially it lingering, you know, someone who had passed away based on this, you know, the forensic pathologist actually doing their work in a sense to you know, determined some factors, ended up contracting that as well. So, you know, no matter if it's the cough, no matter if it's on items that you're touching, again, that social distancing playing a key part in that. But they're still trying to figure this thing out. All we can do is what we can do. And as you mentioned, David, you know, social distancing, washing your hands, you know, staying safe in a sense, only getting out when you need to get out. Respecting people's space in a sense. You know, I think if we continue to do those things, take things slow, again, I get people are going stir crazy in many respects. But at the same time, whether it's FaceTiming with friends, social media, whatever it is that you can do in order to kind of keep that smile on our face during this time of uncertainty, definitely mental health is a big part. But we've got to keep encouraging people, checking on people, family and friends, that kind of thing, to make sure everybody's doing okay.
Well, you know, the thing about that is, Ken, it's something that we're learning through this process. You know, if it weren't, you know, softball season, baseball season going on right now, or whatever else you choose to do, like if you're track, whatever sport you play, if you're any of those individuals, used to being out. If you're not out, normally you're at home with your family anyway. I think if we can just sit back and look at the big picture here. The families are getting more opportunities to spend with their kids. This is time that you can really kind of reevaluate everything that you are doing or have done. If you're not working, if you are working, a lot of things are the same. But if you aren't working and you're at home and you're at home with your kids, you may want to be thankful for the opportunity to spend time with your kids, because there are blessings on the other side of this thing, in my opinion. You can spend time at home with your family, with the technology that you have. There's all kinds of different ways you can communicate with the others. FaceTime. We all could always text and call. Those are always there. But there's so many different ways that we can video chat, video conference with things that we do. And I think we're coming out of this. This is where we're going in some places. You'll have a lot of meetings now. It's going to be just a video conference away. Because guess what? It's functional. It's a little bit, it's less, you're going to spend less. You're going to be able to do some different things, if you will. So there's a lot of things that we're going to learn through going through this. And I think we will come out better if we can just look at some positives instead of just looking at all the negative things that are happening out there. It, again, you see all these things, these negative things on Facebook about, you know, tired of being home with my kids or whatever it may be. But be thankful, be blessed that you're home with your kids. We've got different people that we know and love that have lost their kids. I'm sure they would be giving anything that they have to spend more time with that kid that they've lost. So look at the people that we've lost in the state. These people are dying most of the part with no one around, none of their loved ones around. And that's a really sad way to pass away, with nobody in your family to be there for you or with you and you're in your last dying moments. That is a really sad thing about this whole COVID-19 and the difference between this virus and other things. This thing just stays on whatever longer than any other virus that's out there, and that's the difference between like COVID and the regular flu. This thing lives outside the body a whole lot longer than the regular flu does, so that's why we are where we are today. Right now we're going to step away for a break. We'll come back. We'll have Coach Frank Spencer on here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless wants to know if you're tired of settling. Settling for a phone you didn't really want because it was more about the cost of the device rather than the phone you really wanted. Well, Appalachian Wireless has the solution, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. With Advantage, every phone model is back on the table because you only have to pay the taxes on the device you really want. Many of our hottest smartphones are less than $50 up front, then a few extra dollars on your monthly bill with Appalachian Advantage. Payment agreement is required. See store for complete details.
You're listening to WSKV 104.9 More Country on your FM radio or on the web at WSKVFM.com. It's time now for Main Street Bluegrass, brought to you by Hearst Furniture and Appliance, 175 Blackburn Street, Stanton, Kentucky.
And welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. We are joined now by Powell County High School baseball coach Frank Spencer. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing great as well. I'll let Ken get started here with you and got some questions. And I'm sure that you're enjoying these beautiful nights out there, right?
Oh, yeah. You know it. I love sitting on the front porch and just watching the sun go down when we could be elsewhere.
You could be playing ball. Now, did you have a game scheduled for tonight?
We did. I think we were supposed to play Estill County yesterday. I think tonight... I'm not really sure. I looked at the schedule today because I had a meeting this morning that was on my calendar. I don't remember who it was, but we were supposed to play Monday, yesterday, and today in a row. So
I got you. So I'll let Ken get started with some of these questions he's got for you. I'll chime in a moment.
Well, obviously, Coach, right, under the circumstances, you know, we'd love to be seeing your guys and you out on the field, you know, in order to have these conversations about the season and things that are going forward. But let's kind of back up just a little bit, though, as far as the team that you were assembling. Talk to us a little bit about your outlook for the season, you know, going in as far as conditioning and then the practices that you were having. What was your outlook at that time?
This year, we were in a little different of a different situation than I've been in the past. I'm entering my third year, or I was entering my third year as being the head coach here. The first 2 years, we pretty much had a solid foundation of who we knew was going to play most of the time. But this year was going to be a little bit different. We had a lot of different individuals who were, in my eyes, in the coaching staff's eyes, ready to step in right away and play varsity baseball. We had a pretty strong communication with our kids that, you know, there's nine positions on the field, but I wanted to play 15 or 16 guys a game, whether that be defensive subs, pinch hitters, pitchers only, base runners, things of that nature. And I felt like with the grand scheme of what we had going on with our preparation, we were looking pretty decent running into the season, given some certain circumstances with some injuries and things of that nature. Actually, we had pretty high hopes going into the season.
How were practices going, and even team chemistry? How were the players? Obviously, your seniors going all the way down, middle school players even that potentially you were bringing up. How was the chemistry and practicing going among the players?
Chemistry was going really well. We started a new thing called the Pirate of the Day. We would award a student athlete every single day for basically portraying what we figured to be what we wanted to see every single day. The kids really bought into that. They got to the point to where at the end of the practice, you know, I was getting ready to present the award, and I had the name in my head I was getting ready to call, and the kids were actually calling it out themselves, and they were guessing it right. Like, they pay attention to who's practicing well, who showed great leadership skills, who had a great day at the plate, who just helped out around the field, whether or not they were with, you know, baseball aspects of things, but who was a good teammate that day. A lot of the times. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I got a question about the Pirate of the Day. Could you have multiple winners? Could the same person win it multiple times?
Absolutely. Yeah. We hadn't had a repeat winner yet. We did have a couple of guys win it on the same day. It was absolutely, you know, impossible to pick between the two because both of them had a really good day that day. But if you won it more than one time, that was great. We were actually planning on doing a special award at our end of the year banquet and giving out a award in honor of James Kirk to give it to whoever won the Pirate of the Day the most throughout the year. We were going to keep track of that, but, you know, due to the circumstances, we're not able to do that. But that is definitely something that we're going to keep on doing from here on out. But when you're talking about team chemistry, the practices just flowed. I didn't have to really say anything more than once. I really never had to raise my voice moving into things. Once they knew what was going to happen to practice, we started, and we just flowed from one station to the next. We did have some issues with, you know, not knowing how to deal with failures, and I feel like once we hit that nail on the head with a couple of other individuals, then those individuals helped out with coaching the other guys that were having problems with learning how to deal with failure and things like that. And that's what you kind of want in a team, is having your players deal with those kinds of issues, the chemistry issues, internally, so where the coaches hopefully don't have to step in and do some different things to coach that culture aspect of things.
So were most of those players stepping into those roles, your juniors and seniors, or were some even the younger players, kind of stepping into that to, you know, step up to that leadership role?
We actually had a very different, vast majority of different kids step into that. And, you know, our seniors, we had three seniors that returned from last year's team, and then we ended up with three new guys. Now, two of the individuals had actually played before but did not play last year. So they, you know, this was their third high school baseball season, which they still knew how, the program worked and what was expected of them and things like that. But we had, you know, all of our older guys kind of chimed in and stepped in. Our juniors and seniors did as well. But we had a lot of, I wouldn't necessarily call it vocal leadership, but we had a lot of the leaders that that just led by example. And a lot of those guys, we had, you know, all of our middle school guys were there every single day. Our freshmen, every single day, and they opened a lot of eyes with these older guys too. I mean, I can't name anyone in particular, but across the board, you know, day in and day out, we had a couple of different people come in, do things to talk about, you know, cultural aspects and how to do this. Hey, we don't do things this way. We need to do it this way. Hey, hustling on the field. Things that I've been preaching for the last 3 years that now these kids have picked up on. And now those are things that I don't have to do anymore, and I can move my focus to something different.
Yeah, you're thinking like what I like to think of. Competition causes competition, and everybody gets a little bit better once those positions aren't necessarily fixed to someone, and each person is pushed by the other.
Absolutely, and we were going to have probably more competition at different positions this year than we've ever had, that I can remember being involved with the baseball program here. We have a lot of young guys that can actually that can flat out play ball, and if you watched any of our games last year, we had a seventh grader start shortstop in the regional semifinals. And we had no second thoughts about it. Like, we knew that he was prepared, he was ready, he was going to make plays, and he did. He just played shortstop. He didn't get or anything, but Cam stepped in there and made a bunch of plays for us that night.
Yeah,
and he was like that all year.
It takes a mix. I mean, I think if you have enough talent to play a position, once the other kids understand that and respect that, you'll go a lot further than you would in the past. Using your best talent on the field, regardless of what age they are.
Yeah, and I communicate that with my guys too. Like, I had some conversations leading up to the season. Some people were going to have to play different positions based on who was pitching that day or who was hitting well that week. I don't like a lot of shuffling around, but I'm kind of growing into the coach where you're coaching for this year, but you always have next year in mind as well. I feel like that's what every coach should do, because I was sitting in this position at the beginning of the year when I graduated sixth starter. My starting center fielder and leadoff hitter tore an ACL in basketball season, so I was out seven starters. My two returning starters were my third baseman and first baseman. I was going to replace everybody else.
Wow. Now, was Wyatt going to – would he have been back for you at all?
Him and his father were hopeful that they would be back about mid-April, which is kind of where we're at now. But I don't think that the doctor had the same idea that they did. At best, it would have probably been around tournament time, around the postseason, where he would have gotten to be able to come back, from what I was told.
So as far as even your players buying into the idea that you would be willing to switch things up on any given game day, rotating players in and out, how are they buying into that idea, realizing like, okay, just because I'm starting today, I might not necessarily finish the game and or even start tomorrow? How was that kind of settling with your players?
As far as their attitude toward things, I would keep telling them every day, we didn't really get a chance to actually do those types of things. So seeing, their attitudes preseason, their attitudes midseason is a little bit different. But from what I had gathered, I had conversations with our older guys, and it was some of the older my juniors and seniors that were going to have to be the ones to play multiple different positions and hit in different parts of the lineup, maybe sit out the second part of a doubleheader to let our younger guy go in and do some things to see what they can do. But one thing I've tried to reiterate to these guys, if you're part of a program, we all get torn up in all these, statistics and things like that. But we want to have our kids graduate high school and think back on their baseball careers as being something that they enjoyed, that they have learned something from other than actually how to play baseball. So to understand the fact that I need to put myself to the side and think about other people as well, that's kind of, what I want to reiterate to my kids to think about once beyond high school, because the fact of the matter is 98% of our guys that come through our program are not going to go play college baseball. They don't even want to go play college baseball. They're there because they love playing baseball. And I tell those guys, do not come to practice if you are not 100% invested in what's going on, because you're wasting your time. You spend too much time at a ball field around us coaches and around your teammates to do not give it everything that you have the whole time you're there. I need 2 hours a day. If you can't give me 2 hours a day of your undivided attention, then you don't love baseball enough to play it every day.
That's a good point. We're going to step away for a break. Hang on, Frank. We'll be right back with you in about 2 minutes. But we're going to take a break here, pay some bills, and back with you in just a moment here on PCSN with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkel Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinkelcontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkel Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back here to PCSN on WSKVFM.com. Again, this is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon, and we are joined by Coach Frank Spencer, Palconi High School baseball coach. And, again, glad to have you on. Have you been out I just have a couple questions real quick. Well, first of all, who are your seniors? And we'll try to have those guys on in the next couple weeks.
We had six seniors this year. The first seniors, the three that we had returning were Wyatt Clark, Jace Ware, Trent Rogers. And then we had Justice Harmon and Justin Perry return after taking a year off last year. And then we had a new player named Tanner Trent who came on and made the team this year. Those guys, those other three kind of came in, and all three of them were kind of like the glue guys, man. That senior class was missing a couple of things. You know, it was a really small senior class. And then when those other guys, you know, come out to the tryouts, and they really impressed me a little bit.
Well, you mentioned Harmon and Perry. Those two guys had played before, and actually I think they played quite a bit for the Pirates in the past. So it wasn't like those two guys have got a long way to go. But I know if you miss a year, sometimes your timing gets way off, and you don't realize how far it gets away from you.
Yeah, there was definitely a little rust. You know, Justin, he was going to be our a big arm on the mound for us. You know, he looked really, really good at times, and then sometimes he looked really, really bad, and I would tell him about it. And you know, it's no secret that he had a little bit of rust. But, you know, taking a year off, especially getting your arm back in shape, it's a little difficult. And, you know, I wasn't expecting him to be, you know, 100% until, you know, probably around this time, to be honest with you. You know, we were going to take it a little bit easy on him and, you know, give him some games that he could be successful in. And then, you know, Justice came in. He was going to be – I had a feeling, you know, he was going to play a lot of innings in the outfield for us this year. And so having those two guys back, I was pretty excited to see what they could do.
Well, my next question will be this, and this is since we are officially shut down until the end of the month. Do you think that there's any possible way that we could get started with the season if we are reopened to school for, say, at the end of April, 1st of May? Is there any possible way to get a part of a season in, do you think, at all?
In the baseball side of things, the responsible thing would be to open for practices for about a month before you allow us to play any games. And I don't see that happening. I don't feel like it's responsible for even, because, you know, these kids, you would like to think they would do things on their own at home to get their arms in shape, right. keep in shape, but they're not. They haven't probably touched a baseball or a softball since, you know, the first week of us being out of practices. So establishing the season, saying, hey, you guys can start playing on this date, but you can't start practicing until like a week before, that's kind of irresponsible for the health of our kids. In my opinion, I would love to extend it on out into the summer, give them, 15 to 20 game season of some sort with a postseason. I think that would be ideal, but, there's a reason they don't pay us to make those decisions.
Well, but I don't think a couple weeks ago I did my interview with Ken on here, and I kind of echoed those same thoughts. I think you could probably get softball going a little bit quicker than you can get baseball going. But to start baseball, if you don't take it minimum of 2 weeks, and I would say a minimum of 2 weeks to try to get your pitchers in some kind of semblance of shape, and then that's going to put you another 2 weeks where you've got to throw them a couple innings at a time before you're ready to even go a little bit farther. So that talks about your month that you mentioned. But I guess it's even like Major League Baseball. If those guys won't get started with Major League Baseball at the end of May, they've got to get back with it the beginning of May and be allowed to restart with their throwing regimen that they have been going. I'm like you, though. I think that if you gave us a date, I'm not sure it can get in unless they extend the season.
I agree. And I would be all for it, playing up until the end of July. Summer teams do it all the time. It would cut into summer baseball, but, kids don't play for just the summer. You don't talk about your summer baseball statistics. You go back and talk about your school team. And I'm a big proponent of summer baseball. I love travel team baseball. I think it's going to help our program out tremendously with the groups that we got coming up. But you play your travel team to get your school team to the point where you can go, 10 years down the road, like me and my buddies do, and talk about all the stuff that you did with your team back in the day, all the games you won, all the cool players that you played against, the championships that you won. I just don't think coming in without extending the season up for at least until the end of July before August starts, but then you start running into the dead period and all that good stuff.
No, I think you'd have to kind of change your dead period rule and to extend the seasons on out, but I think that is something that maybe they can think about if we're in the clear. Now, obviously, the health concerns have to kind of overweigh anything about playing ball as far as the COVID-19, but like you said, the health concerns of our players, especially those who pitch, that's something that if we did start, I think you'd probably have some people that really want to go full force, and that can only kind of jeopardize a kid's future.
Yeah, absolutely. That you'd be surprised as to how many coaches out there literally just go for a win and nothing else matters.
Yes, and that is a sad thing that when you can – like you, I like what you said earlier. There's a lot more that's going to come after for these kids after they finish high school and go on in life that they can learn through playing baseball, softball, whatever the sport may be, than just to go out and win games. I think you win as much from losing – as you do from winning. Again, it teaches you some different things to go through, and I think that you're leading by great example right now, Frank, and some of the things that you said really kind of tell me that you're right on cue where you should be.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, even from my perspective, in a sense, just the maturity, in a sense, as far as your mindset, the growth that you've made, honestly, in these, short few years, pat on the back, honestly, because your development – as a coach, your perspective as a coach, I mean, we can see the growth, being an outsider looking in, and especially with this conversation, it bodes well in a sense, not only for you, but even for the Pirate team going forward, just your mindset. Again, the growth that through these conversations and your perspective out on the practice field and everything, it's promising and definitely encouraging, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate that. And, one thing I kind of focus on is I never stop learning. The technology today is a big aspect of how I run things and how I learn. Twitter is my big thing. I love Twitter. So, actually, since this quarantine has started, I've sat on a couple of Zoom calls with the first base coach of the San Francisco Giants, the catching coordinator who used to play at UK. His name is Michael Thomas. I sat in on a Zoom call talking about him, you know, how he coaches catchers. He's now the catching coordinator with the Minnesota Twins. Jeremy Schiedinger, who used to be the president of the American Baseball Coaches Association, which is I'm a part of, that I pay a membership every year of, apart from, you know, our school, but I pay it personally to have access to all of that good stuff. You know, he's the head coach of Georgia Gwinnett College, is an NAIA school in Georgia, and he used to be an assistant coach at UK. He used to be the head coach of Spalding University. He's coached at Georgetown. He puts on podcasts, you know, group chats on Twitter, Zoom calls, where you literally just sit and hear people talk about baseball. And, you know, to be a good baseball coach, I feel like you need to be a lifelong learner. You can't be that guy that sits there and says, you need to do it this way because this is my way. This is the way I was taught. You know, the way I was taught how to play baseball may not be the way that the game is gravitated to now. So I feel like the game is ever-changing. So as a coach, you need to change with it. There's some things that I love about it and some things I don't really like about it, but I feel like it would help my kids. So, you know, I give it a shot. If it doesn't work for my kids, then we'll regroup and try something different. But you gotta be able to go with the flow.
I totally agree. Got that time again. We've got to take another break. We'll be back with more with Frank Spencer here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. We are being joined by Coach Frank Spencer, Powell County High School baseball coach. And Frank, we're talking about off the air, your age. I think you're, what, 26, 27?
I am 26. I will turn 27 in November.
Now, I had told Ken earlier, I said, when you were 21, you had the maturity level of about a 32 or 33-year-old. So, that being said, some of the responses you've given us are from a more mature coach than your age. So, I want to give you some credit for that, if you will. I think you are much more advanced in maturity than a lot of other people who are your age in the coaching profession, if that makes any sense.
Well, that makes perfect sense, and I appreciate that. I credit all that to my mom and dad and all the coaches that I've had. You know, I've always looked at myself. I knew what I always wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to be a coach. And, you know, throughout my playing days, I felt like I was a good example of maybe not so much of a vocal leader. You know, I did do a lot of rah-rah stuff here and there on the football field and even on the baseball field, but I feel like I wanted to be that kind of guy that kind of brought everybody together. You know, I wasn't the best player, but, you know, I wasn't the worst one either. But I wanted to be that guy that, you know, people could look on and count on. So that's kind of how I lived my life.
Well, from an outsider looking in, Frank, as someone who go watch games every now and then, I thought you were one of the leaders on the field, and I think that is kind of forwarded you on to with the coach that you are now. I think that you can lead different ways. Like you said, you don't have to be the best player. You can be the worst player on the team and still lead by example or things that you do on the field. But I always looked at you as one of the leaders on the baseball field, especially in my opinion. So I think it does transition over to you being a good coach because of that.
Yeah, I feel like I've put in a lot of work. You know, I feel like whenever I am on the baseball field and I got these kids around me, that I have to set a good example for them as well. Just like, you know, Coach Varney used to set for me. And I feel like, you know, that's my number one priority, is to set a good example for these kids.
I agree with you 100%. I learned under Coach Charles Childers, who I thought was a phenomenal person and coach. As I look at it now, you know, I think we've had some really good coaches here. And you mentioned Chris, and I think that as he got older, he changed a lot. He kind of transitioned over to a different kind of person as a coach than what he started out being. I think that he learned a lot, and he coached kids to be leaders and coaches. That's kind of what, in my opinion, that's one of the things that he did really well. I think all of his players go back and coach. I think Mr. Childers did the same thing with our group, taught a lot of us to be leaders and be better people. And I think that's something now these great coaches that you're talking about, to me, teach leadership in general, not just in baseball. And I think that's some of the things that you've been paid off now by playing under Coach Chris Varney.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% a fact. One thing that I know, that, you know, I got the experience when he was a coach here, is he used to bring coaches that have been around the block a few times, that have won championships and been to the state tournament. You know, Larry Allison is one of his big influencers, who coached for a number of years at Clark County. And I remember when Coach Allison retired, he would come to our practices, and he would pull some of the kids that we had on our team. You know, me in particular, I remember talking to him many a time during BP. He would just pull me to the side and be like, "Hey, think about doing this, and do things like this, and see what happens." You know, and Coach Varney always had those kinds of guys around. Our guys too, and another guy is Gene Combs, who's you know, the Hall of Fame coach, and is currently in Coach Varney's dugout as an assistant coach. You know, he's a guy that I look up to a lot. We go to the Louisville conferences every year and hang out with, you know, a number of different coaches, and just learning from all these other guys that have been around the block and know and have basically seen all there is to see that you are going to see eventually. That's how you prepare yourself, and that's kind of what I love doing. I love talking baseball with those guys.
It's always fun to talk baseball. I have to give you that.
So let me ask you this. We'll kind of back up just a little bit here as far as not only the district, you know, what was your outlook as far as the district and even as far as a potential regional title? Who were you seeing as, you know, teams that you would need to, you know, surpass, beat out on the ball field in a sense, not only at district but even at region? Who do you think was the biggest competition you were going to be facing?
As far as the district level, one thing that I kind of want to throw out there is, you know, Lee County and Alger County have come a long way in developing their baseball programs back from what it was, you know, 10 years ago. They develop kids. They do what they can with what they've got. Those kids come. They show up every day, and they give you a battle. You know when you got it. You know, it's not going to be. You know, one time I went up to Alta County and we ended up winning the game 44-0. Mm-hmm. You know, we were literally bunting the baseball, walking to first. And nowadays, you got to play the whole five innings because you don't know. You can't get that kind of lead because they're going to put the ball in play. They're going to make the routine plays. You have to actually beat them playing baseball now. So kudos to those guys. As far as Espo County goes, they returned the most out of anybody in the region. They were a very good baseball team last year. They have, in my opinion, one of, if not the best player in the region in Micah Adams, who is their shortstop and one of their better pitchers. Literally, you know, when we were gearing up, you know, week before we play Espo, I text coaches that they've played, and they're like, "Man, I cannot get that Adams kid out." And you know, you can't get him out. That's just the kind of player he is. He puts the ball in play. He's got speed. He gets and runs. He throws the ball hard. He's money at shortstop. I think that he would have ended up being one of the maybe the player of the year this year in the region. They got a new coach now, Blake Pro took over after his dad retired. I thought that he was on a good track. Me and him have a good relationship. We text back and forth. I feel like as far as regional goes, Hazard is always going to be in there as long as Coach Meehan's around. Coach Meehan, as a lot of people know, is dealing with a battle with cancer. He takes trips back and forth to Hazard, or not to Hazard, but to Houston, Texas to get treatment. Got the chance to talk to him a couple of times in the last little bit. You know, his assistant coaches are doing a good job of holding down the fort while he's in and out of treatment and taking care of those things. So prayers up to Coach Meehan. Hazard returned a couple of guys that, you know, are one of the top, some of the top players in the region, at least, you know, top five. Perry Central is always going to be a name that you can throw around the hat. You know, Coach Twain Willis is one of my really good friends. We talk about a lot of things. He's actually our region rep. He always texts me and asks me for my input on a lot of things when it comes to the region and the players and you know, some processes that we go through, talking about, you know, how are we going to do, like, you know, the all-state team and things like that. And he does a good job of listening to everybody. He's a great guy, and he's actually the coach that, you know, coached Breathitt County the last 2 years. Had Breathitt County on an absolute tear in the regional tournament last year and beat Perry Central in the first round, and then beat us in the second round to go on to play Hazard in the championship. And you know, that guy does a fantastic job. He's a great coach. So I feel like with the talent he had at Perry Central, they were going to be pretty hard to beat. The Letchers and Knotts of the world, those guys are always on top of their game. Their facilities are top-notch, so knowing that those kids are going to be prepared to play baseball. There's always good baseball up there in the mountains. And so I feel like, you know, the region was probably going to be wide open. I feel like there could have been four or five teams that could go out at any minute and win the game. I thought Breathitt County was going to have a pretty good team coming back. You know, I want to give a shout-out to Dylan Creech at Wolf County, who is trying to build that program back up. He's doing a fantastic job. He texts me all the time. I try to make some suggestions as to how he can improve things and do things. And he's got a pretty good plan in place. As long as they keep him around, I think he'll have Wolf County back into the swing of things very soon.
See, people think as coaches we don't try to help other teams, and I think it's such a myth, because we don't. We'd rather play somebody competitively than beat somebody 25-0. Am I right there?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a whole lot more fun.
When you think about a lot of, like, when you look at the state tournament, for instance, you know, baseball state tournaments, that has been a little bit different compared to other state tournaments. But the 14th region, generally, we don't do very well in state tournaments. You know, you had the Knott County basketball teams a few years back that, you know, won a couple of games in the Sweet 16. The last 4 or 5 years, Hazard has put in a great showing at the state tournament for baseball, making it to the Final Four a couple times. It's been a pleasure watching those guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always need to help out each other, because it makes the competition great. You want to have your region be a tough region. You look at a region like the 10th region or the 11th region. Those regions, if you win that region, you got to be a baller of a baseball club.
Yep.
Because, you know, in Lexington, you got like Henry Clay, Tate Creek, all those guys in the same region. You got, last year we had four teams in the top 25 ranked according to the Prep Baseball Report, and all four teams were in the same district.
That's stout. We got one more break to go through. We'll come back with you in just a moment, Frank. We'll step away for another break. Back with you with one last segment here in just a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back again to the PCSN here on WSKV. This is Dave along with Ken. I got Frank Spencer on the line. Got a couple more questions for you, Frank, and before we let you go.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so what was your reaction when you first learned of the dead period? And then what was your means of talking to your players about that, and what was their reaction?
Well, when I first knew it, first of all, our chili supper was kind of cutting it really close.
Yes,
to all that. And, you know, luckily we were able to get that in, and that was a fantastic night, by the way. But, you know, going into that next week, we maybe got one practice in that I can think of before everything was shut down. And, you know, I knew kind of where it was heading, so I made a group text with every single that's for different classes. Like, I had a senior group text, a junior, a sophomore, freshman, and eighth grade group text to kind of keep in touch with them. You know, I have our remind system too that I send out as an announcement to all of our parents and players. But once I knew what was getting ready to happen, I sent out an email to our listserv, you know, the email list where everybody, you know, tries to find games. And I was like, what is your district doing in terms of plan from here on out? That way I was kind of preparing myself as to what might happen for us, and then I was getting like a general consensus of what everybody else was doing, and then I was naive enough to send it off to Mr. Brewer and Dr. Orb saying, hey, this is what everybody else is doing, this is what we should do too. But you know, I was really happy to hear at least that Julian Tackett came down from the cage and said, hey, and kind of put a blanket statement on everything. That way, it wasn't necessarily a district decision. That kind of it put me at ease a little bit, because I didn't want to have, you know, other teams have an advantage over us in that sense. But, you know, I was kind of devastated once I figured out. At first, I didn't know how long it would be. You know, it was going to be, you know, a couple of weeks. But up until this point, you know, I can't even think about what those guys feel like that, you know, probably all six of them have already played their last baseball game, and they didn't even know it at the time.
And that was last year.
Yeah, it was, you know, almost 12 months ago.
Yeah, we got a little heads up with the flu outbreak here, actually. We had an extra probably 3 or 4 days that we couldn't do anything due to the flu. So it had been even longer for either of us to be out on the field or practice because of the flu here. And then right after that, the COVID. So we were on a continuation outbreak here from flu to COVID real quick here.
So how are you actually coping with things now? Obviously, no practice. Are you still able to kind of keep in touch with any of your players along those lines? You know, how are you kind of dealing with the new normal, I guess, in a sense?
I've been communicating mostly with our seniors. You know, I send out a group text. I don't know if they even get them. They don't reply very much. But I send them out, and I tell them I'm thinking about them. And then I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. But we, when they turn on the lights, you guys turn on the lights at the softball field, I texted them. I'm like, listen, everybody's turning on their lights for their seniors, but I feel like you guys deserve a little bit better than what our lights can provide. So this is just a text saying that I love you guys and I hope you guys are doing well. Just wanted to let you know that's why I didn't go out to the field and turn them on, because, you know, two light poles don't work. But I didn't want that to be a representation of what you guys and what I value you guys as. So I made sure to tell them that. And, you know, I kept them in the loop. That was just a few days ago. I haven't really said anything to them since. we are definitely going to try to plan something really good for them. Once we can start, you know, purchasing things again.
Yeah.
No one knows where that's going to be, but we're going to, you know, put them on to something cool and give them, you know, deck them out in some gear and stuff like that. So, but, you know, to show that I appreciate them and that their community appreciates them.
So what about you and your family? Obviously, you know, you're married. You and your wife are both educators. How are you all even dealing with this, not only on the educational side, but even personally at home? How are you even spending your time there?
Well, we wake up every day and we immediately go to our Chromebooks and check emails and talk to students and communicate with students. Like before you guys called, I was working anyway. A lot of the times we work from all hours of the night, so it happens that way sometimes too. And moving on to just, you know, family life, we cook a lot. Like cooking. We go and instead of eating out, we make sure we cook, you know, meals and things like that. Spend a lot of time with my daughter. You know, she likes to go outside and play, so we go outside, not on the front porch while she plays. She kind of enjoys it a little bit. The weather's been pretty nice. It's not been too bad. But just spending time with family is fun, you know, sitting down. I don't really do a lot of TV watching. I watch a lot of YouTube. You know, me and my brothers, we've also come together and done a little bit of a video chat that we put on YouTube talking about random stuff.
I have seen that.
Just something to have a little fun, man. We get bored every now and then. I'm thinking about doing a cooking show on YouTube. I'm not sure yet.
Well, I tell you, since you mentioned spending time with your daughter, that's time that you wouldn't have got had you been out coaching baseball. So, in some ways, are you thankful that we're not playing or anything like that?
It's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, my wife, she dreads when baseball season comes because she's become a single mom. Pretty much, we wake up in the morning, we'll get her dressed and take her off to the babysitter. And then, you know, if it's a game night, then I'm not getting home till 11 o'clock,
yep.
12 o'clock at night. And by that time, my wife's already got her home in bed, so I don't even get to see her the 30 minutes I see her in the morning. You know, it is really nice having her around. She misses going to the babysitter more than anything. She's got some little friends over there at Eveline's,
yeah.
And she loves hanging out with them. She misses those. She wants to go every day, but we kind of got to tell her. She doesn't really understand, you know, we can't do certain things currently. It's kind of disheartening sometimes, but having her here every day and being around my family every day has been pretty good.
I will say this, as a father of two children that are a little bit older than you, actually, by a couple of years, but realizing, like, that time, enjoy that time, because they grow up so fast. It's honestly crazy how fast they do grow up. So enjoy that time while you have it. Enjoy playing with her, going outside, whatever it is, when you're given that opportunity like that. And, again, it happens way too fast. One final question, in a sense, anything you want to say, just in general, you know, to kind of close this out?
Just for me, you know, keep our athletes and especially our group of seniors as a whole, in your thoughts and prayers. You know, these kids, they can always talk about how bad they hate school, but I guarantee you the amount of stuff that they're having to go through right now is ridiculous. Just keep them in your thoughts and prayers and make sure that, you know, they're taken care of. They don't know how to deal with themselves. They thought they had a few months left before they were put out in the real world, and here they are. You know, probably no prom, probably, you know, a limited graduation at that, if any graduation whatsoever. You know, they're having to deal with the things that not a lot of kids have to deal with. So, you know, be supportive of them. Help them out any way you can. So that's what I have to say. Wash your hands. I've washed my hands 1,000 times. I've went through a whole bottle of Bath and Body Works soap in my kitchen. That's how much I've washed my hands.
Free plug. Again, Frank, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Frank.
It's been a great interview, and again, best wishes to all. And again, prayers out to John Meehan. I didn't realize that before you mentioned it, so prayers out to John, and also and all the seniors out there. We like to send our thoughts and prayers out to them. And next week, if you can relay the message to the seniors, like to maybe talk to them next week here on PCSC and on WSKV.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you, man.
Too.
You too. All right, time to step away here on PCSM with Ken and Dave, and we'll step away. See you next week. Hopefully have Powell County High School baseball seniors on the air You're on WSKB 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts. 104.